Let's pray as we stand. Our Father, in a world that is unpredictable and always changing, it is a rich blessing to be able to say that we are never alone because your faithfulness is great. We know that there's nothing in us that deserves this faithfulness, but you are rich in love and full of compassion. And so now we ask, speak to us. Help us to hear your voice. Open the eyes of our hearts. Remind us of your faithfulness. And as you do that, please would you produce in us a faithfulness to you, that our lives would bring glory to you in every moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Take a seat, and Luke Bacon is going to come and read.
This evening, we're going to read from Luke chapter 12, starting at verse 13, and that can be found on page 1049. So that's page 1049, Luke chapter 12, and we're going to start at verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of one's possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God.' And he said to his disciples, 'Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also."
Well, thank you for reading, and may I add my warm welcome. We've heard already our subject for this evening. It is something dear to the hearts of 21st century humanity, and indeed through every century. People sing about it, money, money, money. Columnists write about it, Robert Peston broadcasts on it. We dream about it. And on Saturday night, as the lotto balls spin, millions long for it. There's no doubt that we live in a material world, and we need little convincing that matter matters. And the motto of the man in this famous parable of Jesus' the rich fool, his motto is literally the motto of millions of our fellow Westerners. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. I have a very simple aim this evening in three parts. I want us to be wise with money. I want us to be stress-free about money. I want us to be rich. I said that in the office before the 4 o'clock, and somebody said to me, "With towards God," which is the key point. I want us to be rich towards God. And you can see it there in verse 21. So is the one who lays up treasure himself and is not rich towards God. I want us to be wise, stress-free, and rich. And I want there to be real evidence in our bank statements of our relationship with God. Let me say, this passage is absolutely related to where we've been over the last 4 weeks. So we've been looking at a living relationship with our Father in heaven. And Luke 10:38 through to Luke chapter 13, verse 20, is all about the kingdom of Jesus, which grows as individual men and women come into a relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ. Remember, it began with Martha and Mary. And back at the beginning of January, we were talking to one another and listening to Jesus addressing Martha, a would-be disciple who'd made a small mistake and was anxious about many things and had not realized the most important thing. Jesus' word to her in chapter 10 and verse 42, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious about many things, but one thing is necessary." And then Mary had chosen the better part, the one thing that's necessary, to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to his teaching. That's the one thing that really lasts. That's the one thing that really counts. Jesus then went on to teach his disciples how to pray. "When you pray, say, Father." And so Luke chapter 10, verse 28, through to Luke 13, 21, which speaks about the kingdom growing little by little in an unseen way in the secret of a man's heart, it's all about the growth of the kingdom through this personal relationship with the living God. And now look at our passage, and in fact, the passages surrounding it. Look at verse 4, "My friends," chapter 12, verse 4, "my friends, do not fear." Chapter 12, verse 5, "I warn you whom to fear, fear him who." Chapter 12, verse 7, "Fear not." Chapter 12, verse 11, "Do not be anxious." Chapter 12, verse 25, "Which of you by being anxious can add a single?" And then chapter 12, verse 32, "Fear not, little flock." So Martha, Martha, you are anxious about many things. Here in this central section of this part of Luke's gospel, "Fear not, fear not. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. Fear not. Here are some anxieties that can really rot up your relationship with God." It is tightly connected to what we've been doing over the last couple of weeks. And I want you to be wise with money, not to be anxious about money. And I want us to be rich in the right way towards God. So then, let's get into our first point, which is a lesson to learn. You may have an outline on your sheet there, and there's been a minor adjustment as we go through, so you'll have to just... there are not even 2 points, there are three. So a lesson to learn. There's more that matters than matter. Don't let your money make a fool of you. A lesson to learn. There's more that matters than matter. Don't let your money make a fool of you. And the presenting issue of verse 13, this parable of the rich fool, is an everyday event. You know, if you open the papers, you'll see an incident like this every few weeks or few months at least. One of my relatives, pretty close relative, died and left 800,000 quid to a cat's home. I mean, we couldn't believe it. 800,000 quid to a cat's home. Nor could the cats, I suspect. A friend of ours, father died, didn't write a will. And the next 3 years, they spent squabbling, him and his sister, and the lawyers cleaned them out. So this issue, someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." You know, it's as pressing then as it was today. And particularly because in that generation, back in the first century, the older brother inherited everything and then he had to deal with it. And so this, I guess, is a younger brother. And he's saying, come on, tell him to be fair. Now that makes Jesus' reply even more surprising. Look at it there in verse 14. Because Jesus effectively washes his hands of the matter. He says, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbiter over you?" In other words, well, don't expect me to get involved in this little thing. And I think what Jesus is saying is here is, look, I've got much bigger fish to fry than you and your brother's petty family squabble. I've not come to settle mere matters of family justice. And that's why in verse 15, he then warns the man about the danger of money. Verse 15, "Take care, be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of one's possessions." The word abundance, surplus. The word covetousness, greed, more to have. Life does not consist in the surplus of your possessions. Beware that attitude of, "I want more." Watch out. And I guess his point to this man is, look, you've got what you need already. This is just a kind of added bonus. And so why are you getting stressed out about that? There are much bigger things that you should be concerned about. There's more that matters than matter. One's life does not consist in the abundance of one's possessions. Now, we could stop there, couldn't we, and spend some time applying this. We're not going to really spend long at this point. But to the man or woman who is stressing over their pay package, there's more to life than the abundance of possessions. To the thousands scrambling for the New Year discount. Isn't it extraordinary? Boxing Day, which is supposed to be a day of relaxing with your family, and there we are trampling each other to get whatever the latest bargain is. To the Black Friday, you know, death by stampede. To the eBay bidder. To the student loan worrier. To the young man or woman worried about whether they've got the latest iPhone 6 or FIFA 15 or whatever it is. Is that what it obviously isn't what it is. Anyway, there you go. See, are you Christian? Do you believe in a Father in heaven? Are you conscious of your personal accountability? There's far more than matters than matter. Life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions. A key lesson to learn: don't let your money make a fool of you. And so he goes on in the parable to spell this out and to develop it further. And the point of the parable is there in verse 20, that God said to this rich man, "You fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" Jesus, you see, is not content simply to leave it with the lesson that there is more to life than money and matter. He goes on to tell this parable. And there's no doubt, is there, that wisdom is highly prized in our age. And particularly, we like to be clever with money. I don't know whether you do, but here in the city, everybody wants to be clever with money. So the person who bucks the trend cannot keep quiet about it. And they'll tell everybody. The persons who got a really good deal on eBay, they tell you, don't they, the next day, "Oh, I got a really..." To the person who invested in solid gold in early 2008, just before the crash, oh, they would let you know pretty quickly, because they want to be thought to be shrewd. And here is God's verdict. You may have 10 A stars and still be a fool. Your school could have been top the school league tables and actually turned out a bunch of idiots. You may have a first-class honours degree, a PhD from LSE. You may be on the Forbes rich list as number one. And then hear the verdict from God: "You moron. You fool. You fool." And the man described in verses 16 through to 21, I think when we look at it, made two schoolboy errors. So here they are. He thought he was invincible. He forgot he was accountable. He thought he was invincible, verse 16. He told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I'll do this. I'll tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I'll store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. It didn't occur to him that that night could be his last. And God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. You can see that he thought he was invincible. I will say to my soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. He didn't think for a second that he might be his last moment. You have no idea how long you have. You don't know which night your soul will be required of you. Don't let your money make a fool of you. You can picture the bloke, can't you? He's a farmer. He's a grain baron. He owns a great stretch of prime grade one agricultural land, shall we say, in Hampshire or possibly West Sussex. If you do own that stretch of land, look, I'm not trying to get at you. I don't know you're here, you know, so please relax. But sometime back in the autumn, he just sensed that it was going to be a really good year when he planted the winter wheat. You know, it was unusually good climate, and the wheat went in happily, and then over the winter it was sufficiently cold to kill the aphids and not wet enough for the slugs to flourish. And so come the spring, it was growing healthily and all going fine. And when it came to spraying in April, May, yeah, the land was just right, and enough rain in May for it to grow up nicely. June, July, plenty of sunshine. He could see it ripening in the head. And then when harvest came, his three combines were working side by side in the field, like you see, and the grain was rolling in and rolling in and rolling in. And in those days, they didn't have banks and so forth. So the only way you could keep stuff was to store it. You maintained wealth by having things, whether it was garments or possessions or whatever. And he thought, well, how am I going to store this? Like Pharaoh, after 7 years of plenty, I'd better build some new barns. So he built the new barns, and when the barns were up and the grain was crammed in, and he saw he had enough there for the next, I don't know, decade or so, he sat back and he was just saying to himself, relax, eat. There was a tightening of his chest, a slight pain. It was funny, quite hard to move his arm. And then he couldn't breathe. He tried to call to his wife. The words wouldn't come out. And the next moment he was standing before God. You fool. First memorial service I ever took here at St. Helens, a very wealthy broker. And he'd made it so much that he was younger than I am now, and he had retired to a villa in Portugal. He'd always wanted to be next to the golf course, and sure enough, the golf course was outside his garden gate. And he was going to spend his retirement playing golf, inviting his friends, and he was found dead a month later in the kitchen, having had a heart attack. I've no idea whether he stood with God, but if he thought he was invincible and had not got things straight with God, God would have greeted him with the words, you idiot. The second schoolboy error is that he forgot he was accountable, and you can just see this from the way he spoke. You see, since there is a creator God who is sovereignly in charge of everything, therefore everything you have has been given to you by God. Who you are, where you come from, what gifts and abilities we might have, the qualifications we have, we only have by dint of his enabling us, the family we were born into, the circumstances of our life, entirely in his hands. And therefore, everything we have has been entrusted to us by God. Now look at our foolish rich man. Verse 17. He thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. relax, eat, drink, be merry. Not even a mention of God. First person singular throughout. I, my, I. Not a hint of God. No sense of accountability. Profound sense of invincibility. Here then is the folly of the secularist amongst whom we live here in 21st century London. The goods are all mine. I'll use them as I please. There's no accountability. I am invincible. I will go on living forever. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. Incidentally, those words he uses are taken from Ecclesiastes and from a chapter which is particularly concerned with the folly of living without reference to God. And so what Jesus is doing in this parable, which is a wisdom parable, is taking from Ecclesiastes and applying it perfectly into the question of this man. And this parable is about not allowing money to make a fool of us. Don't think you're invincible. Realize that you're accountable. Be wealthy towards God. Verse 21, so is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. May I ask you rather a personal and impertinent question? Well, I'm going to anyway, whether you say yes or no. How wise are you with your money? How rich are you towards God? Do you think you're invincible? I mean, Jeremy said, sort it out this week. Yeah, well, I think that would be a very good application, wouldn't it? Or do you think you're invincible? Do you realize you're accountable? Don't be an idiot with your money. I was thinking to myself, who is the primary audience here? And if you look in verse 16, he told them a parable. It might be the two brothers squabbling, in which case you may be somebody who is in a particular dispute over money, a family matter, a matter at work. Yeah, you've got a dispute over money, but there's a much bigger fish to fry, if you like. There's something much, much more important for you to sort out. You're going to meet God one day. Don't be an idiot over money. Maybe it's to the crowd. He told them this parable, in which case it's to the non-Christian world and the crowds around us. The young graduate recently come down from university. I know what I'll do. I'll take my newfound wealth. This year it'll be a new suit, tailor-made. Next year a new car, something slightly flash. And the year after, the first down payment on my house. You think you're invincible? You've forgotten you're accountable? More likely, in my view, is it's actually to disciples. Verse 22, he said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. Verse 4, I tell you, my friends, do not fear. And so I want to say to us this evening, you know, we're not pagan secularists. If we're disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a living Father in heaven. We know we're accountable. We know we have to give account for the life and all that God has given us. So don't let money make a fool of you. Act on what you know. Well, I think the next thing that happens in verse 22 is absolutely where we would expect the conversation to go. First, there's a lesson to learn. There's more that matters than matter. Don't let money make a fool of you. Secondly, there's a relationship to develop. There's a Father in heaven who loves you. Don't let money stress you out. So, verse 22, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Now, I can just imagine somebody here saying, look, you're talking as if all of us have got loads of money. But I am really strapped for cash. So all this talk about money, I'm bothered just about where my next day's food is going to come from, which may well be true for some of the students here. And some of us may have major concerns about money. So, come on, let's get real, which is exactly what happens in verse 21 and 22, as Jesus goes on to speak about food and clothing. Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body what you will put on." So what Jesus does here is to put his finger precisely on the spot which is most tender as we talk about money, the anxieties that it brings. Remember, Martha, you're anxious about many things. Don't let stress about money rot up your relationship with God. And may I suggest that because the strapline of our secularist culture is eat, drink, and be merry, so the scourge of our age is stress. Atheism produces anxiety. No surprise that the weekend magazines are full of tips on stress, because if you think all there is this world, this little closed circle, and you've got to eat, drink, and be merry, you're going to be really stressed about fulfilling your potential, getting everything you need to really enjoy your short time here. But if you believe there's a loving Father who watches over you, it's a great stress buster. And this little section explores the relationship with the Father. Look at verse 30. "All the nations of the world seek after these things, but your Father knows that you need them." So there's a relationship to develop, a loving Father in heaven. Don't let money stress you out. And Jesus gives us two stress-busting exercises that I will recommend to you. I have been through these exercises, both of them, with many, many people here. So we're on the therapist's couch for a moment, and I'm going to give you a stress bust. Are you worried about money? Get out your binos. Verse 24. "Consider the ravens." Sorry, this is a bit of bird watching, all right? "Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn. And yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If you then are not able to do a small thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest?" So get out into the park. Get out your binos, if you're feeling stressed about money. Have a look at the birds up in the trees. They neither have storehouses nor barns, and there they are. "And which of you can add a single hour to your life?" You know, when you're next awake at 3 o'clock in the morning, as we sometimes are, well, maybe you never are, but people do wake up worrying about things, as you lie there in your bed, worry about adding to the length of your life. You can't do it. So worry is absolutely pointless. If you can't even do a tiny thing like that, why are you worried about money? Do you think God doesn't care for you? In fact, if you look at the footnote, it says number one, two, or three? I don't know. In my Bible, it's a number three, but it may be a different number. Look at the footnote there, and you'll see which of you can add a single cubit to your height. So at 3 o'clock in the morning as you're lying there, try growing. I've tried that myself. Now, I know you grow 1 inch in every night, and or not a different inch every night, otherwise we'll all be huge, but I know you add an extra inch to your height every night, so don't come on. But this is 18 inches. 18 inches is a cubit. So when you're worried about money, well, try this stress-busting exercise. You can't even add 18 inches to your height. Small thing like that. Why are you worried? And then the second exercise, get out into the garden. "Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you?" In other words, God loves you. There's a Father in heaven who cares for you. There's a relationship to develop. Develop the relationship with him. He really does care for you as you pray, "Give us today our daily bread." If he looks after just the blade of grass in the field, the wild lily that grows wherever it grows down by the pond, and it looks so beautiful, as he looks after that, how much more is the loving God going to clothe and care for you? So worry about money is futile. Worry about money is faithless. The point is not here kind of develop a opt out of life, buy a guitar, sit at the bottom of our palm tree, sing ballads and expect the money to come in attitude. This isn't a kind of Lion King, no worries, mate approach. The birds do, after all, work. They build nests. They migrate. The point is they don't store up and hoard up surpluses. They are provided for. Don't worry. Ah, says somebody, but you've got no idea the pressure I'm under and the expectations that have been laid upon me by my family and that I lay upon myself and the social circuit and the things that I need in order to keep up and all that I'm expecting to be and do. Well, here's a thought to chew over this evening. Might it just be that the loving Father in heaven wants you to be less upwardly mobile than those who have laid expectations upon you want you to be? Could it just be that God does not want you to have the same standard of living as your parents, or to bring up children in a better way than you were brought up? And so rather than stressing about money, if I trust God, I may find myself where he wants me to be, significantly more anxiety-free. A lesson to learn. There's more that matters than matter. Don't let your money make a fool of you. Be wise. A relationship to develop. There's a loving Father in heaven. He wants us to be stress-free. Look again at verse 30. All the nations of the world seek after these things, but your Father knows that you need them. And finally, a strategy to pursue. And there it is in verse 31 and verse 34. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This is what I think they call a replacement strategy. Instead of stressing about money, seek his kingdom. Pursue it with all your energy, because as you pursue the kingdom of Jesus Christ, no moth will destroy it. There won't be a sudden crash in Europe that will undermine the value of your investments by 70%, because you've invested your money in his eternal purposes. And as you and I do that, then we will be genuinely rich with the kind of wealth that nobody can take away. So seek his kingdom. And God will take care of the little things, like the clothes you wear and the food you eat. Make his kingdom your number one priority. More than that, sell your possessions. Now, I don't think that means we are to own absolutely nothing, for as the New Testament develops, people are told to look after their families, and you find disciples with houses looking after others and acting as philanthropists. But what it is encouraging us to do is to sit light to our possessions, to give them away, to sell your wealth, as it were, as it's stored up in garments or whatever it was in those days, and then use that money for the advance of his kingdom, which is what tonight has been all about. Sell your possessions, give to the needy, and thereby provide yourself with money bags that do not grow old. Now, would you have written, last question, verse 34, the way the 34 is written? Glance down at it. My suspicion is you would never have written verse 34 that way round. I wouldn't. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Wouldn't you say, where your heart is, that's where you'll keep your treasure? Change your heart. Jesus says it exactly the opposite way around. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. It seems then that the way we use our money will impact and change our heart. So sell your possessions, give to the needy, store up treasure in heaven, invest in eternity. I was in the office this morning, I was been wrestling over this issue of, you know, what does Jesus mean? And Michael happened to be there, Michael, you down here. And I said to him, it's always worth running something past Michael, what do you think this means? I would never have written it that way around. What do you reckon it means? Where your treasure is, does it mean that your treasure will lead your heart? And Michael said this, or something along these lines. He said, imagine I were to purchase a forest in the tropics. Well, it wouldn't have been a forest, would it? A patch of woodland. It would have been a tropical rainforest. That's right. Imagine I were to purchase a woodland in the tropics. No, it would be a tropical rainforest. Of course, once you have it, then Michael said, I will be looking at books on tropical flora and fauna. You know, he didn't tell us he would invest in a parrot, but, you know, he would be taking an interest in his investment. It would, do you see, it would affect his heart. It would, to a degree, lead his heart. And so what Jesus appears to be encouraging us to do here is to take our money and invest it in something eternal, which will then, because we've invested something of ourself in it, it will lead our heart. You give your money to support an associate, you're suddenly interested in the associate. You give your money to make sure that there can be a second Read, Mark, Learn evening, a women's worker to be on the staff there, you're suddenly really rather interested in how it's going. You'll give your money so that we can plant a church this September, which is what we're planning to do, and in due course the September afters, which we're also planning to do, more about that. Suddenly you're really interested because I've invested something myself in this eternal matter. And now my heart is beginning to change. And so says Jesus, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Well, a lesson to learn. There's more that matters than matter. Don't let your money make you an idiot. A relationship to develop. There's a loving Father in heaven. He wants us to be stress-free. Trust him. He loves you. Seek his kingdom and let him look after the things that you and I cannot influence. And thirdly, a strategy to pursue. Make your money secure by investing it for eternity. Let's pray. Be on your guard against covetousness. Do not be anxious about your life. Seek his kingdom. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Father, please help us in this matter as we go out into the week ahead. You know that all around us that great motto is eat, drink, be merry. We pray that you would help us to be wise. We pray that you would help us to trust you and not to be faithless, to seek your kingdom. And please, Lord, would you enable us to use what you've given us in a way that counts for eternity. In Jesus' name. Amen.